The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Friday unless you are a fan of the Phoenix Suns. We usually on Fridays we run our TV show here on the stream, but Chairman of the Board, the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen, and I are feeling like today, at least I am, that we should be doing a show. I'm sure Jared is too. That we should be doing a show because of what happened last night. And for the second year in a row, the Suns were blown out. We'll get into all that in a moment. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. You know, Desert Financial Credit Union now overseeing Arizona State Athletics as an official partner. You can get your Sun Devil Desert Financial debit card. I was with Jeff Mishi earlier talking about that. Very excited. Desert Financial Credit Union, we appreciate their support. You know, I don't know which is worse, the Suns game or the Cardinals schedule. Have you seen the Cardinals schedule? We'll get to that in a little bit. So the game last night, at least it allowed many of you to go walk the dog or need to go for a walk. It's not the way that Al McCoy should have gone out, but it's the way that he did go out. Second year in a row blown out. You've heard all that, read all that, thought all that. I wrote some three-dot thoughts about it this morning on the website if you want to check that out. There's a few things. One, I'm not going to sit here and give the, well, DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul didn't play, and that's why the Suns lost angle. That would be taking away from Denver, which was clearly the better team. They were the better constructed team. Look at their bench. Look at their role players. Or look at just guys that they brought in, KCP for a bag of rocks, Brown, you know, the moves that the Denver Nuggets made to complement the Joker. Okay, and let's just start there because it's completely the opposite here in Phoenix today. I don't know anybody who's not questioning the Kevin Durant trade, saying he's old, Mikal Bridges is young, Cam Johnson is young. And I would just say, that's all well and good, but the deal's done. Can't reverse it. You have to make the best out of the situation. Maybe if Kevin Durant doesn't slip on the floor in warm-ups, or maybe if he and Devin Booker had more time together. But if I had told you yesterday, hey, so Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are going to combine for 35 points, and Cameron Payne will be the leading scorer for the Suns in an elimination game, and DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul aren't going to play, well, there you go. They're going to get their ass kicked, and that's what happened. That was just a good old-fashioned butt-kicking. And so today, talking for the second year in a row, being blown out, down 30 at the half and all of that, when you allow 81 points in a half, you're not going to win anything. And so not showing up for a big game, this team had no fight left in them. DeAndre Ayton's rib injury, was that the last time that we saw DeAndre Ayton? I believe it is. All the stuff that people are gnashing their teeth over to say what happened, I'm more looking at it like Denver was the better team. They were together this year. They didn't have injury. If you remember correctly, they've had injuries for Joker where they haven't had their full complement of players in the postseason. And thus, they've not been able to get to a finals. I am rooting for Denver to make it to the NBA Finals as the team from the West. I am. I've seen Golden State. I've seen the Lakers. Yeah, there's a lot of LeBron and Laker fans out there. That's what happens in Arizona. There are a lot of Steph fans in Golden State. They both had their time. If you can't admire what Jokic is all about as a player, if you can't admire the way that he goes about his business on the floor, and even the way he handled Matt Ishbia up in Denver. He's likable. He's embraceable. I don't care that he's on the other team here in Phoenix. I'm looking at this right down the middle rather than orange and purple and saying we and us. You'll never hear that nonsense out of me, ever. And I'm not going to be sitting here wearing purple and orange. Felt bad for the, like, when I worked in local TV, they do this ridiculous stuff of, okay, so Brad, we're going to send you to San Antonio. And then when it's over, we're going to have you tossed to fan reaction. Fan reaction. Great. You know, we're going to put you out at a sports bar. Yeah, man, go Suns. Yeah, man, go Suns. It's like the same old stuff all day long. You're not going to get somebody saying, what in the bleep was Monty Williams thinking? He can't be back as our coach. No, no. We love the Suns. We're going to root for them next year. Go Suns. And here, it's a very disappointing night for our team. And let's send it back to Brad in San Antonio. And Brad in San Antonio would be, yeah, they got run over. And yes, there was a really bad call that was made that flipped this whole series, and the NBA overreacted, and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. Brad would never wear purple and orange, ever. Never wear Cardinal colors on. Don't wear ASU colors. That's not me. So today's one of those days where I just sit here and say, this had nothing to do with officiating. This had nothing to do. Chris Paul couldn't play. And the way the team has been constructed and the way that the new owner has come in 5 months' time, I think you can take a look at things and say, yeah, there's going to be change. I don't believe that it was overwhelming majority that they wanted to do the Durant deal over at the Suns. It's my own opinion. But they did. Imagine, think about this for a minute. You know, Brooklyn started out the year 18-2. People forget that. What if Brooklyn had said, we are going to keep Kyrie and we're going to keep KD, and then this never would have happened with the Suns? Would we still be talking about the Suns being eliminated in the second round today? In my opinion, the answer would still be yes, because neither one of those two could control the Joker. Neither one of those two, you would have had better defense on Murray for sure, but neither one of those two was going to make the impact on the offensive end. This has been designed to be around Devin Booker. This is Devin Booker's offense, Devin Booker's team. As Devin Booker goes, so go the Suns. So, you know, the trade happened. We saw what happened, and now got to live with what happened. You know, is Kevin Durant going to sit here a year from now if things don't go right in Phoenix and say, yeah, well, this is not what I expected. This is not what I signed up for. Clock's already ticking. 365 days from now, they have to be playing more basketball or it's a failure. I'm not going to call it a failure today because there was the unforeseen situation where Durant slips on the floor. He gets hurt. I do think there's something to Booker and Durant being together and having more minutes together. And we saw fabulous basketball at times. It's been pretty apparent DeAndre Ayton doesn't want to be here. Body language speaks volumes. Being engaged speaks volumes. Now, does Devin Booker have a say in Monty Williams' future? Some are of the opinion that Devin Booker does. Others are like, no, he doesn't want him here. I'm looking at it and saying, I think that the idea of Monty and Durant not being asked, can you play for this coach, is kind of crazy. You know, Matt Ishbia it's pretty front and center. Isaiah Thomas is sitting with him, not just at a game, but he's around. Tom Izzo's around. So to think that those two don't have a say in the owner's ear about what he's thinking about doing or should do, that would be ridiculous. To me, as I sit here this morning, the day after, I'm not going to say fire Monty Williams. I think James Jones should be questioned on some of the players that were brought in. Landry Shamet was counted on in a big way. He brought two veterans in that barely played in Terrence Ross and TJ Warren late. Biombo, not a factor. Bondale played well enough. But really, your bench versus Denver's bench, it's not even close. And were those pieces all working together? Like when you watch Denver, everything goes through the Joker. Everything. The action runs through him. On the defensive end, I talked about going at him, and last night the Suns finally got him in foul trouble. Of course, they were down 30 when it happened. He had 4 fouls. Game 6, they never went at him. Ayton would get a rebound and dribble out of trouble. He would not go back up strong. It's like he didn't want to have the contact. I don't know how long that rib injury was bugging him. I don't even know how severe it was. But for the second year in a row, absolutely embarrassed. And the new owner, the new owner, if he decides, you know, I need to make change, which feels like that's what he's about. This isn't his coach. This isn't his general manager. But Monty Williams' reputation is pretty darn good around the league. Some believe he's an ex-Olympic coach in waiting. You know, once Pop and Steve Kerr move on. There are organizations, and these organizations I'm about to list, they've won. San Antonio, they've won, and then they've been awful, and Pop is still there. Golden State, they've won, and then they've been awful, and Steve Kerr is still there. Here in Phoenix, they've not won, but Monty Williams has done a hell of a lot better than what we've seen in the past, brought credibility to the program. His credibility is questioned because in two elimination games, his team has gotten absolutely destroyed, so they didn't respond. The way that he's used his bench this year, I've had some people over there say maybe he's trying to get himself fired because his bench never, ever, ever came together. So it's just brutal all the way around. But, you know, in defense of Denver, they were just the better team. They were the better organization. And I really hope that they make it to the finals. I'd love to see Joker against Embiid. That is must-see TV. I'm all about the best. I'm not about the, oh, hometown team. No, it's not us. They got their ass kicked, plain and simple. The Cardinals schedule came out yesterday, and this will get lost in the news cycle simply because of what happened with the Suns last night. But I do think, because we always play the game. When Eric and I were doing the show together back in the day, we would always do this game. And that was, okay, WNL. And so last night, I was around some people, some athletes, some business leaders, and the Cardinals sent over their schedule, and I figured, hey, for giggles and bleeps, let's pull up the schedule and see what we've got here. So I'm going to run through this. In case you missed it last night, they open at Washington against the Commanders on Sunday, September 10th. On the road, open the season, I'd say that's a loss. They come home to the Giants on Sunday, September 17th. That's a loss. They're 0-2. They have the Cowboys the following week. That's a loss. They're 0-3. They play at the 49ers on October 1st. That's a loss. They're 0-4. They're home to the Bengals on October 8th. That's a loss. They're 0-5. They're at the Rams on October 15th. That's a loss. They're 0-6. And this is where things will start to change, I think. Sunday, the 22nd of October, they're at Seattle. That's a loss. They're 0-7. They're home to the Ravens on October 29th. The Ravens are going to be really good. I don't think the Cardinals' defense is going to be able to stop them. But I think they'll be starting to turn the corner under the new coach. That's a loss. They're 0-8. It's about the point where Kyler could come back earlier, and even then I wouldn't have a differing, I would not have a different opinion. They go to Cleveland. It's the first week in November. That's a loss. They're 0-9, but they're going to start playing better. They're home to Bijan, who should have never gotten out of Arizona, one of the biggest blunders in the history of Arizona State football, of in-state recruiting ever, 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 exclamation point, because he was coming, and then they completely crapped the bed and took train him out of Ohio, which they should have never done. But that was then ASU. They're going to beat the Falcons. That's going to be their first win of the season. The 19th of November, they play at Houston. They own Houston's number one pick. So they need to beat Houston, right? But the Cardinals are going to be so bad that they're going to be in position to have the first pick and the second pick. We don't want to screw this up. So what do you do here? Well, you have to win. But it's going to hurt you because you don't want wins. That one, I might give it a tie. 26th of, so what do I have? I have one win, 10 losses, and a tie because they're two horrible teams. They have the Rams at home. That's a loss. They play at Pittsburgh on December 3rd. That's a loss. They are home to the 49ers, and these games may be more competitive towards the end of the year. I think Jonathan Gannon's going to get better, I think. It's a question is, will Michael control himself? You know, or is he going to lose his mind over getting his ass kicked every week? 49ers on the 17th, that's a loss. At the Bears on Christmas Eve, that's a win. They're going to win at Chicago. Chicago's awful. Then they go back to Philadelphia on New Year's Eve. That's an absolute loss. And then they open the close season with Seattle at home. And that's a loss. So I've got them with two wins. 2-14-1 Yeah, that's about right. The Diamondbacks threw one of their kids out yesterday, Tommy Henry, and he got rocked. They were down 6-0 before they knew what hit him. Because we are so starved here in town to have a baseball team that wins and we like the kids, we get pretty excited about them when they're two games over 500, which they are, but they were five. Giants this weekend, Mother's Day weekend. Don't circle the drain. And don't wait until July to try to add on to the pitching staff. We're starting to see the holes. The holes are starting to appear. We like the direction. They're fun to watch. Like the pace of playing games. But got to find a couple pitchers. Got to do it. And they have enough kids in the farm. You know, Alec Thomas, to me, is on his kind of last legs here in Arizona. Nick Ahmed, we need to have him here. Carson Kelly comes back. There's some veterans that if you're going to tear the thing all the way down, I think they have, and start to bring it back up and find that help in the bullpen to close games out, find that starting pitcher or two. So that's going on as well. All right. That is what is on my mind on this Friday. We are back on Monday. We will get after it on Monday with the great John Wilner and others. Have yourself a great weekend.